The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. On this Thursday, June the 12th, 2025. Thank you for listening to AFR. Good morning, Ed Battagliano.
Good morning, Fred Jackson, Tim Wildman.
Hi, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And we appreciate everybody who listens to this program and or watches us on the internet, Facebook, YouTube. What other? Are we talk ticking?
Well, I don't have a cat to bring in, and I'm pretty sure you don't want to dance. I don't know what we'd be doing on TikTok.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's TikTok. Yeah, TikTok. TikTok or Instagram, but these videos where people get in their car and then either go on some rant or they make some observation, and I just think.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, why?
I just keep scrolling.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. We just keep scrolling for another one.
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to those.
I don't either.
But inevitably, if you're on the internet, you're going to run into a TikTok video or an Instagram, whatever. And they do have those. There's 30-second entertaining.
Yes, little
videos
reels.
That you just click to the next. I'm going to stop right here. No, wait, look at that. Come here. Somebody come here and look at this.
Mine will just continue to roll. It'll go from one. I'm talking about, I don't know if it's Facebook. That's probably Facebook rather than X. Those are the only two social media platforms I'm on. But I'm pretty sure on Facebook, if you click on one of those video reels, the short ones, they just go from one to the next. And, you know, there's sometimes when, you know, if I'm during intermission between periods of a hockey game.
Yes.
And I may look on social media, kill some time. But sometimes I'll take a little bit of a snooze. And before you know it, there's a video of a alligator almost eating a dog. They never actually get to the end of the video.
What I like about what you said was you're watching a 2-3 hour hockey game.
Yeah.
But during the game, in order to quote kill time, end quote,
as if I'm not
watch Instagram
time.
Or whatever. Yes. Like,
this is on Facebook. They'll post those.
All right. Sadly, there's some tragic news on the other side of the world that's making headlines, Chris.
Yeah, we have some families to pray for, and certainly investigators. We need to ask God to give wisdom. An Air India passenger's plane bound for London with 244 people on board crashed today in India's northwestern city of Ahmedabad. I looked this up. It's far north of Mumbai in India, but a deadly plane crash with more than 240 souls on board. Visuals on local television channels showed smoke billowing from the crash site near the airport, which has a population of about 5 million people. Investigators are still looking into things, and they will be looking into a number of things for the next few days. And someone talking about that very issue is a former NTSB investigator by the name of Mike Cofield, who said this on Fox, clip 2.
I've seen the other video, and if that is factual, I know that there's concern about that, but if that's factual, you're right. The gear was down. It appears that the flaps were already up, which is very strange. That would not be occurring with the gear still being down. And then the airplane appears to just, what we call it is behind the power curve. So it starts to just kind of sink. We're going to look at the black boxes at this point. We're going to see, make sure that the power throttle, the throttles were at full throttle. We're going to make sure too that the engines themselves didn't shut down.
What is he talking about there, Fred? Now, what we're talking about, folks, is a story out of India where in the last 12 hours, because when I went to bed last night, 11 o'clock or so, mm-hmm. I had not heard about this story, and I thought I'd watch the news, but mm-hmm. a Boeing
787
went mm-hmm. down in India. It's a commercial aircraft.
Air India.
And killing all on board, 280-something people.
Yeah, it was 240-some people on board. That's crew and passengers. 787, very reliable, came off the line in 2009. About 1,000 of them, more than 1,000 of them, have been built. This is the first major crash of a 787. We've all heard the stories in recent years about the 737 MAX. The production was held for a while because of two or three accidents involving that particular aircraft. But this one, very reliable airplane. It is a two-aisle. It seats 250, 260 passengers, roughly. This airplane was on its way to Gatwick in London, and it had just taken off. That's about a 12-hour flight, so it would have been fully loaded with fuel. We were just watching pictures just before we went on the air. This aircraft has this gentleman that we just heard from the NTSB. The aircraft had enough power to take off, so the engines were working fine to get it up into the air. But it looks like it didn't climb any more than 500 or 600 feet, and then it went down. The gear was still down. Not too unusual, but it was down. This guy mentioned from the visuals that he saw that the flaps were up. That is highly unusual if that is true, because during takeoff, if you've sat an airplane by the window, you'll notice that the flaps, those parts of the wing at the back, they put them down, and the aircraft has in the front what's called slats. It rounds the top of the wing, which allows for a greater lift on takeoff. If those flaps were not extended, that would be extremely unusual. But we have to wait and see. The other part of this story is that it crashed into a residential area just off the end of the runway. And I have not seen these pictures, but they say there are bodies, corpses everywhere. We do not know yet whether, you know, what bodies on the ground, people who died on the ground because of the explosion, the fuel, as we were talking about, or if all the passengers are dead. We just do not know that. I'm seeing right now from a newspaper, one survivor in plane crash. They're showing his picture in the hospital. There were 169 citizens of India on board. There were a group of Portuguese that were on board and one Canadian. So we'll wait on that. But this is really, really highly unusual, the circumstances, the pictures that we're seeing, but a very tragic day for Air India.
This passenger that Fred just mentioned, I found it. It's a story from Hindustan Times, and the passenger on seat 11A says trouble started 30 seconds into flight.
Mm. Well, the most dangerous time for an aircraft is either taking off or landing, right?
Low and slow is what they say.
Yeah. Well, tragic, very sad, and
244. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at American Family News, mm-hmm. an article there, 244 aboard.
Yeah.
And so with one survivor, it's 243 mm-hmm. have apparently perished.
The pilot had enough time to call Mayday. So he obviously knew there was problems within seconds after liftoff.
Yeah,
Which may speak of engine failure.
All right, what's the next story, Chris?
Well, I mentioned we need to be praying for the families of these crash victims. We also need to be praying about what's going on in the Middle East. And I say that because the lead story throughout all of yesterday afternoon's newscast and through the night was this morning from the State Department. for all non-essential personnel to evacuate the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad based on its latest review and commitment to keeping Americans safe both at home and abroad. The department also was telling non-essential personnel and family members from Bahrain and Kuwait to get out of those countries. This seems to be in related to talks between the U.S. and Iran over its nuclear research program reaching an impasse. For those not aware, the United States, the federal government, has been talking with Iran about its nuclear weapons program. The U.S. and many other Western countries do not want Iran to have access to nuclear weapons. And so we have been telling Iran, hey, you shouldn't do this. Let's talk about some ways for you to move on, why it's important for you to move on and whatnot. And apparently those talks have reached an impasse, and we expect some sort of attack from Iran, perhaps on U.S. installations or properties in places like Baghdad, Bahrain, and Kuwait.
We about to go to war with Iran, Ed?
Well, it's looking like that is increasingly likely, because the U.S. is pulling family members of U.S. military out of the Middle East. Then there's a reason for that. That's expensive. That's not cheap. You're flying people out. You don't cry wolf too often. So if you're going to do that, disrupt families' lives, it's got to be for a serious reason. Now, Chris, this is the first I'm hearing that they're expecting Iran mm-hmm. to attack first.
Yes. There were some AP stories yesterday saying it was a warning from like Iran's foreign minister saying, you know, we will respond if these talks fall apart.
But that's a response.
Well, like we will respond to you not working with us on this is how I read it.
Okay, so this would be a situation where Iran's not retaliating against U.S. bases because the U.S. attacks their nuclear facilities. You're saying that right now it looks like Iran has threatened to attack U.S. military bases if the talks collapse.
Yes, that was one of the things that was reported yesterday from the Associated Press. I ran it in like the 4 or 5 o'clock newscast yesterday.
That would be idiotic on the part of Iran to initiate a hot war with the United States.
It absolutely would be idiotic.
So I don't now, again, what we're talking about here, folks, is, and President Trump was asked about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he responded.
Yes.
Because it is being reported and confirmed that the United States is pulling people and families out of military, right?
Correct.
Military out of a 1,000-mile range of mm-hmm. Iran or something like that?
Well, Kuwait, Bahrain, probably Iraq, and anywhere we have bases. And
that's a lot of people. What are you doing, moving them to Germany or something?
The family members of the military, not all family members of all the military are overseas, but some are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's not a small amount of people. That's why I said it's expensive. You don't do this and rush people out of their homes and away from school. Well,
can you imagine
summer?
So anyway, mm-hmm. So it's very, very, and that's an unusual move. I mean,
it indicates that the U.S. expects something, a military conflict.
Yes.
Whoever initiates it, it looks like there's a real possibility that we could be at war with Iran.
You have to add a bunch of things together that have happened in the last 3 days or so.
Okay.
We know that the United States has been in discussions with Iran about, and Trump has made it very clear, we're not going to allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. That's the gauntlet. Yeah. So, and what has happened in recent days, President Trump has made public statements saying those discussions, negotiations have not been going well. He has stated that publicly. You then had news in the last 2 days that President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel have held discussions. Now, we know that that President Trump had a vigorous discussion with Netanyahu about 2 weeks ago, and the report was Trump telling Netanyahu, do not do any strikes against Iran We're in the midst of these Middle East Gaza peace negotiations or ceasefire negotiations. But this conversation between Trump and Netanyahu took place in the last couple of days. And so there's when you look at all of this, the tensions are rising, obviously. They said evacuating family members, but they also said in this order from the State Department yesterday, we're moving out all non-essential personnel. So that could be lower-level military people.
Also embassy people.
Yes.
Are being pulled out.
Out of Baghdad.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it, all of this, is it just theater to try to add pressure to Iran, or is all of this signaling to us that something dire is going to happen?
Well, here's part of the problem for quote-unquote negotiations. And you have the same situation in Gaza. In both Gaza and Iran, you have religious radicals and zealots in charge.
Yeah.
Okay? In both of those areas, they want the destruction of Israel. Mm-hmm. This is why the West has said Iran can't get nuclear weapons, because they have talked about destroying the little Satan, Israel, and the great Satan, the United States. So it's not like they're just angry at Israel. They intend to obliterate them. And so that's why the West, that's why the United States has said Iran can't be allowed to get nuclear weapons. So the reason I think that the negotiations are not going well with Iran is because the mullahs who are in charge are saying, no, we are going to get nuclear weapons. If you want to make a deal, pick something else, but we're getting nuclear weapons. And when those negotiations go south, because all indications are Iran is getting very close to having the capability to produce nuclear weapons, the U.S. and or Israel are going to attack. Iran knows that. They might strike first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did find a quote. Now, I read something from the Associated Press today that or yesterday that was slightly different. But here is a defense minister of Iran quote on Al Jazeera. Okay. It says, Defense Minister so-and-so said on Wednesday that Iran would target U.S. military bases in the region if the U.S. attacked it first. And he went on to say, quote, some officials on the other side threaten conflict if negotiations don't come to fruition. If a conflict is imposed on us, all U.S. bases are within our reach, and we will boldly target them in host countries.
Well, if there's war between the U.S. and or Israel, and Iran, it's not going to go well for Iran. Now, whether or not we can stop their nuclear their attempts to gain a nuclear weapon, they're buried deep within the ground. I think perhaps we can collapse the ground on top of them, but we would for sure target their naval capacities and their anti-air capacities. And so it would be a hot shooting war. We'd be at war with them. And who knows what the fallout is in other parts of the world, because you have that kind of triad of evil, Russia and China and Iran. You might be able to toss North Korea in there, too. So who knows what's going to happen? We could have something very serious erupting here in the next
couple weeks. I've had about all the bad news. We're heading into the weekend, and
I understand.
And this is depressing me, huh?
So, and then who knows what happens to the economy, Tim? Hey,
this is why I have gray hair.
All right, listen. Yeah. We're just laymen talking here,
right?
And we don't have obviously access, nor would we understand probably all the intelligence that the CIA has, that the FBI has, that President Trump and his team are privy to. We just know that, as Fred mentioned earlier, all the circumstantial evidence that has led us to this point is an indication that we're getting close. Who knows? A week, two, three, from a confrontation, an armed confrontation between the United States and Iran. That's what it appears. Now, this will be a. This is one of the moments in a presidency that defines it, seems to me, potentially, at least, because President Trump has said, as has Benjamin Netanyahu, right, and others, Prime Minister of Iran, will not be allowed to. That's the language they use.
Right.
Have a nuclear weapon. Well, what if Iran is saying, stop us.
Yeah.
Is that where, that's where we are.
Yes.
Huh? And so it would be President Trump that would have to initiate a military attack on Iran to destroy their nuclear weapons, wherever they are, however they may be. Who knows? Well, I guess we know, the United States knows.
In the nuclear research facilities.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. This is somebody bluffing? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's why I said it's the same situation in Gaza as it is in Iran.
Well, Gaza doesn't have a nuclear weapon.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the fact that they're run by religious zealots. There's no need to bluff if you think Allah is on your side and is going to give you victory, because you're going to get that nuclear weapon because Allah wills it, and with his help, you're going to eliminate both Israel and the United States. I guess that's what I'm talking about, is that religious zealotry.
Yeah.
I don't think they're bluffing, is what I'm saying.
Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania was on Washington Watch yesterday. I do not have the sound. But he was talking with Tony Perkins about how some people are like, well, you know, Iran, it's also interested in just nuclear energy research. They want to be able to power their country like us and some other countries or whatever else. And Congressman Perry went on to say that it is very clear Iran is only interested in an only weapons nuclear research program, and therefore President Trump and others have a right to be concerned.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. We've reached an impasse.
Right.
Seems to me like clearly that. So whatever's going to happen in the next 3 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, because it appears that, by the way, I said President Trump commented on this. Do we have that clip?
We do not. We were looking for it prior to the show.
Well, did he? Am I wrong about that? Somebody said at our show meeting that he said.
I read it. I have not heard it.
But he said, we'll see. When asked about it.
In fact, I think he said, you'll see.
Talking to a reporter?
Yeah. And
we asked, why are all these U.S. Military personnel being moved? And
yes.
They need to respond. And he said, you'll see.
That is the way I recall what I read.
Okay.
That's something you really should say, no comment.
If the Insurrection Act needed amid protest in Los Angeles.
That's not the same thing.
We
cannot confirm nor deny.
No, I got it. I got it.
We can confirm.
This is from ABC, so take it for what you want. Thank you very much. Trump confirms U.S. personnel are being removed from parts of the Middle East. There is a quote in here from our chief executive, Donald J. Trump, who says, well, they are being moved out because it could be a dangerous place, and we'll see what happens. But they are. We're given notice to move out. We'll see what happens. And I think probably what you saw may have been a snippet of that headline.
Yeah.
As his comment here.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess so.
I mean, that's not what I recall, but I don't want to sound like a politician. I do not recall.
I do not recall.
I'd vote for you.
All right. Let's go ahead and take our break early here.
Let's go to the bunker.
Yeah. Well,
one of these days, it's just going to be me and Brent on a remote AM signal on a random Tuesday afternoon.
Playing the Carpenters.
Yeah.
Why?
Rainy days and mushroom clouds.
All right. We'll see if we can round up some happy news for the next half hour, ladies and gentlemen.
We do have Pastor Joseph Parker coming in.
Do we? Okay.
Talking about the Ten Commandments.
He's going to talk about the Ten
Hear
Commandments.
Hear that, Iran? Thou shalt not kill.
And how to
shouldn't covet your neighbor's stuff.
Yeah, including nuclear weapons.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't want to covet nuclear weapons.
You just say nuclear?
I did.
That's
a southern way of saying nuclear. We shall take a break right here. We'll be back momentarily.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned.
But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn Network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby. You're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
In Him we were also chosen as God's own, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything by the counsel of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be for the praise of His glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12.
American Family Radio. This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Countdown to nuclear war is what we've been focusing on for the first half hour of this program. And
we're at DEFCON negative one.
Negative one?
Yeah, it's worse than
and
one.
And you go?
Yeah.
All right, so it is a very serious, volatile situation. We don't mean to make light of it. President Trump, to repeat the top story, the U.S. military personnel families are being essential employees only are being left on bases in the Middle East because President Trump says we'll see what happens. That was his comment, right?
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. And so it's a the negotiations between Iran and the United States such that they were to get Iran to stop making. How you say it, Ed?
Stop make. I'm nuclear. Not sure. Oh, nuclear.
Nuclear. Nuclear. Nuclear. Why is it I can't say that?
I don't know.
Fred, can you say it? Say it.
Nuclear.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you're a newsman, a veteran newsman. So anyway, it's a very serious situation. And as you said, we need to pray for President Trump and in this situation. But it seems to be coming to a head, right?
It does.
Yeah.
It does seem to be coming to a head. And it's one of those things where there is no real room for compromise. The West and Israel, including Israel, has said Iran will not be allowed to have nuclear weapons. The mullahs in charge of Iran have said, yes, we will. And they're trying to, perhaps have some negotiations. But it does not seem, it seems to be falling apart because I think this is an intractable, unsolvable problem. Someone's going to win and someone's going to lose on this.
The other ingredient in this story is that, and I think that's why President Trump made the comment he did the other day about talks are not going well. There is a belief that Iran was trying to extend the talks while it is moving towards uranium level nuclear weapons. So I think Trump was believing and his security people were believing that Iran was just stalling to give it time to either full-blown nuclear weapon.
How do we know they don't have them now?
Well, we don't. And the other factor is that it's believed that Iran keeps pushing these weapons down deeper and deeper to avoid being destroyed by any, whether it's Israel attacking or United States.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm quoting President Trump. Quote, we'll see what happens.
See what happens.
See what happens right there. But President Trump did use the word dangerous situation, didn't he?
I believe so.
I'll dig it.
Isn't it what you quoted a few minutes ago? All right. So we got some other news stories to cover. But on a good note, we have Pastor Joseph Parker here. He's host of Hour of Intercession, heard weekdays at 3 in the morning Central Time on American Family Radio. Good morning.
Morning, Tim.
Joe.
Good to be with you all today.
Pastor Joseph Parker, how long have you been hosting that show?
I think about 12 years now.
12 years, but not daily, right?
Monday through Friday.
No, well, but not daily the whole time. It seems like it started out as a weekly, but maybe I'm wrong about that. But you're not going to tell your boss you're wrong, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. No, we've got something going on called the Ten Commandments Project. Talk about that.
Right. We've had this project going on for several years now, and I think it gets more exciting with every passing year. It's a youth discipleship project, and one aspect of it is very simply, if a young person memorizes the Ten Commandments and recites them to their dad or mom can call us, give us their size and a mailing address, and we'll mail them a free Ten Commandments T-shirt. Specifically, during the month of June, we're having the part of the project that's called the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. It's where a young person will put together a speech based on the commandment for the year. This year, it's the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And we're inviting young people basically to write a speech, and they're welcome to get help from dad or mom if they need to. 3 to 5 minutes is the suggested length. Record it and send it to us. Either email it to faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net and put in the four column, Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. And I think last year we ended up with, I think, about 57 speeches. And it's been an exciting discipleship project from this standpoint. It's helping young people plant the Word of God in their minds and their hearts, but also teaching them how to take truth, ingest it, and share it with others. And so we're looking forward to the speeches. They've already started pouring in. And so, as I said, it gets more exciting every year. And if for those that participate, they'll get a free Ten Commandments T-shirt, a bookmark, and a free shipping coupon code to use in the AFA Resource Center.
Ed?
Yeah, I love this project, and you every year after it's finished will take some of the best and put a collection of those together. We get to watch those in our AFA devotions, so the staff gets to see these as well. But I'm always blown away by the capacity, the ability of these young people, and they're not all teenagers. These, some of them are what I would say are little kids.
Small children.
Small, and they love God's word. They love God, and that comes out in these videos. And they're the ones who have to create the wording as they speak, I don't want to say in defense of one of the commandments, in explanation of what the commandment means and how it applies. And these young people, some of them are going to make a good preacher. And it's almost like raising up a generation of young people, whether they become, you know, officially become members of the clergy or not. As you said, Joseph, they are going to develop an awareness of how to explain the scriptures to their community.
Very much so. And, you know, I think of this too, Ed, that this is true. You know, the Ten Commandments are found in their entirety in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and they're the moral law of God, and it's so important for us to understand it's the basics of our faith. And some people make the big mistake of saying, well, that's Old Testament, they're old-fashioned. The moral law of God never changes, and the biggest problems in our society and in the news are a result of people violating the wisdom right behind the Ten Commandments. So knowing them and learning them and living by them is a very wise thing on our part as believers, obviously. So it's a great curriculum God has given us, basic
give that,
truth.
Give that information. Give that. Just tell it again, because maybe there are people going, I didn't write that down. What are we asking for now?
Okay, we're asking them just again to write the speech. They can even record it with their cell phone or any other means that they.
You mean a video of them reading their speech?
A video.
And what's the speech about?
It's on the 10th. First commandment: You shall have no other gods before me. And we suggest 3 to 5 minutes. And again, ages 7 to 17 is the age range, and all of the speeches every year, to be quite honest, are good. They're really good.
Do we post those?
Sometimes we'll post them on our social media, but also like for example, at the Activate conference, we're actually going to share a montage of some of the speeches with some of the young people.
Yeah.
And one of our goals is to inviting young people to share truth. See, like one of the things that we do is we encourage each young person to also ask your pastor if he'll let you share it on Sunday morning. Well, actually, a minimal number of them actually do that for different reasons. But like, for example, a little girl in the church that I pastor, she sent me her speech this morning. She's just turned 7. Powerful little speech. I fully intend to let her share her speeches coming Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And so it's inviting them to learn to share truth in their
culture. Give us an example of what a speech might say. But we're talking to Pastor Joseph Parker. It's called the 10 Commandments Project. We do it every year here at AFA and AFR. Joe hosts the Hour of Intercession, heard overnight, 3 a.m. in the morning on American Family Radio weekdays. So how to contact you. And what with you talking about a 3 to 5 minute speech about the first commandment of the 10.
Sharing the first commandment.
That's the challenge this year.
For me, right.
And everybody who participates gets
free T-shirt, and they get
10 Commandments trophy.
And they also get a coupon to use in the AFA Resource Center.
How do they contact you?
Well, again, you can email us at faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net. Either one.
Or they can go to afr.net/10commandments.
Exactly.
Because then they can find out more information about this particular 10 Commandments speech challenge.
I also posted a link to the topic you guys are discussing on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
All right.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you
for stopping by.
Thank you.
I just want to just say, Tim, that this is a lot of times people – if they listen to AFR, they may think, well, all they do is talk about politics. But we don't. We have preaching programs. We have Truth for Youth Bible Week coming up in August. There's all sorts of ways in which AFA and AFR promote the Word of God and sound biblical teaching. And this is another way of reaching out to young people to get them acclimated to not only reading the scripture, but bearing witness to it.
I think, too, this is a great opportunity for parents to make sure that their kids know what the Ten Commandments are, because, praise God, we have several states now that are requiring a copy of the Ten Commandments be on display in even public school classrooms. And then, of course, Christian schools teach this, too. Sunday schools go over the material. But this is an effort to make sure that you, parent, your child knows what the Ten Commandments are, and it's an opportunity for you to do some Bible study with them. And that, you know, Bible, we all need to read the Bible more. Even our pastors need to study our Bibles more. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity. And again, I did post that on our Facebook page. AFN has covered these kinds of things in the past with Joseph. So stay tuned to AFN at the top of every hour on AFR, because we do oftentimes do stories on these kinds of projects.
Hey, I wanted to get to Los Angeles. I was reading, you know, we talked yesterday about how, what was it, all this, we talked about the AT&T data breach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Affecting millions and millions of people. And I was reading another story. It's getting to where you don't even want to touch anything that has technology to it. This is today on Fox News. I'm just going to read it like it is. The story says, everything that connects to the internet can be hacked by malware. This includes your phones and laptops, devices like your Wi-Fi router. Security cameras aren't safe either. But who would have thought that hackers are now targeting your smart TVs? streaming boxes, projectors, and tablets, too. That's right. The FBI warns that bad actors have hijacked over 1 million of these devices with malware, turning them into unwitting participants in a global cyber crime network.
What are they doing with the television?
The FBI is warning that more than a million smart TVs, streaming boxes, projectors, and tablets have been infected by malware, massive malware operation called Bad Box 2.0. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what Bad Box is, but evidently it's some kind of...
Well, that's the malware, sounds like.
Okay. Well, and the malware turns home electronics into participants in a global network of crime, cybercrime, often before the user even powers them on. It's pre-installed malware from a Chinese...
Chinese again.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'll read one other thing. In the statement, the FBI says Bad Box 2.0 is commonly found on cheap Android-based devices manufactured in mainland China. These include uncertified tablets, connected TV boxes, and other. Anyway, it's not funny, but it's like everywhere you turn every day, mm-hmm. there's some huge data breach or...
I tell you, as I'm thinking about this, I had not heard about this. We don't have a smart TV. We just use our...
Your dumb one?
No, we don't use... I have a dumb TV either.
It's got a tube in it.
We well, listen, y'all go ahead and laugh. Right. That's what I had. Right. Nobody be...
They didn't hack those, Sonny.
We're going to get back
to
the
antennas.
No, we just
use our little tablets, and I watch what I want. Diane watches what she watches. But anyway, what I was going to say, as I'm thinking about this, I all the time, if I get on my phone and go to Fox to check on a story, a little, or even on my iPad, a little pop-up comes up and it says, do you want to cast to your television? Mm-hmm. So if there's a video playing, you can put it on your TV. Sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if it can do the opposite. If these TVs affected with malware can access your phone or your tablet and retrieve information that's stored there, or if it's simply the TVs used to spy on the people, because it probably has a little camera on it. You know, are they just checking out to see what you've got?
Be careful walking around your house.
It really is insane.
Good night, everybody. Sleep tight.
Yes.
Okay.
And here you were. I thought you were going to bring us a happy story.
I know. Yep. Well, I was trying to. I was searching for one. Hey, let me search for happy story real quick.
Okay. Okay. I can give you one in the meantime.
Pops up. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
While Tim's looking for happy story.
I just typed in on Brave. I typed in happy news. See what comes up here. Good, inspiring, positive stories. From the
good News Network.
The Good News. The first thing that comes up is...
Oh, you clicked on it without checking.
I did. I may be infected with malware. Okay, so the story... let's see. We got a good news story right here. Rural fishermen entrusted to manage pristine Caribbean shoreline to safeguard their fish in future. That's a good feel-good.
Does the fisherman get eaten by anything? That's the only reason I'm clicking.
Here's another good story. 17th century Dutch painting rescued from a dusty attic in Connecticut sells for $7 million.
That's not good
Why
news.
Why can't that end up in the attic of a house I buy? Oh, that's not good news to you.
You actually sent around a good news story overnight.
Yeah, what did I send around?
It was the cancer story.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. You have that?
I do. Let me dig it up off my phone.
Anyway.
Yes.
All right. It wasn't important enough for Chris to have in his stack of stories.
We haven't
I got it right here.
Oh, you got it. All right, okay. Go ahead.
All right, this is from Daily Mail Online, and the headline is, Cancer Breakthrough as Doctors Unveil Way to Zap Tumors into Oblivion Without Chemo.
Yeah, that's almost here. That was a good news story I sent around because I found that, and I thought,
I read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I read it.
You want to read any part of that?
Now,
with the Daily Mail, which I look at in the evenings, they are a tabloid-type news service.
Yeah.
But they got a lot of good hard news on there. They just use sensational headlines to get you to click on everything, and it works.
It
works. But that story caught my attention.
This says Texas researchers have devised a way to use infrared light as a jackhammer that can tear cancer cells apart from the inside, showing in trials to have eliminated melanomas, the deadliest form of skin cancer. a synthetic blue dye often used in hospital imaging naturally binds to cancer cells. Researchers found that when the cancer cells were zapped with infrared light, it triggered violent shaking that tore through the cancer cell's membrane, causing it to die without any heat or harsh drugs. But this says that it leaves healthy cells alone. It says it has a 99%, it's obviously just being tested, has a 99% efficiency against lab cultures of human skin cancer cells, and half of the mice with melanoma tumors became cancer-free after just one treatment. That's startling.
Yeah, you want to? We can put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
I got it on.
But I just found, I thought that, you know, having a lot of our listeners have cancer themselves, or had a family member like I did with Allison, my wife, or they know, so everybody's touched by this. Fred experienced, he had to go through treatment for...
My mother died of cancer.
Yeah. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But it would be... But now, the treatments today, while they've improved greatly, still a lot of them involve the chemotherapy, which...
Yeah. Can be very rough.
Can be very rough. Chemo... It's short for chemicals.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to use... I'm going to be coarse about this, but you have to poison your body to get rid of something worse.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You're hoping that your body
is able to take it,
outlasts the cancer.
Yeah, and the key there, too, is these new treatments can zero in on tumors and not affect the good cells, the healthy cells.
Right.
Quite often, in the past, broad chemotherapy radiation, it killed a lot of the good cells.
Yeah. Right?
And so the wonderful part about this, when I had prostate cancer, I've got proton treatment. And proton treatment, one of the best, it's the heavier component of the nucleus. And they're able to control the direction of the proton. And it narrows in on the cancer cells. And it's terrific. So we're living in, there's a lot of stuff going on in our day and age today that isn't good. But these advancements and treatments are terrific.
That's in trial. Mm-hmm. That was the trial results. So who knows how long it'll take. You have to have trials, and then you have to be approved and everything. It just takes some time. But at least it's good to know that they've discovered this, they wasn't exclusive to melanoma, was it?
They named other cancers.
Yeah. It can be used for?
I believe it's prostate cancer can be used for that.
So
this is really neat stuff.
Yeah.
This is just, they put this dye, this blue dye in there, which attaches itself to the cancer cell. And then they basically take that area of your body and they shoot infrared light in there. And it's, I guess it's the type of light, the frequency, the radiation level, whatever the case may be. And it blows apart
the
cancer cell. So that's terrific.
Yeah, it says it has already shown in follow-up trials to kill colorectal cancer.
That's
prostate.
Colon cancer.
Prostate cancer and breast cancer cells.
Yeah.
So wide variety.
Big news.
That is big news, and as we promised, good news.
That's right. Amen. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim with Fred and Ed and Chris. What's your next story, Chris?
Well, this is just a bit of trivia as we end the end of this segment here.
As we end the world.
No.
Gotta go out with a bang of trivia. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we're a little on edge here.
Famous moment on this day in history.
Okay.
1987. Speaking about the Berlin Wall, as he stood at the gate in Berlin, U.S. President Ronald Reagan famously entreated the Soviet leader with, quote, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall."
Yeah, that was, for some reason, I saw that within the last couple of months, saw that speech or part of it.
That was today in history?
It was.
Yeah, today in history was that speech. I remember the Berlin Wall coming down. I was like 8. I didn't really understand it. What's the big deal? But I wasn't even that old. I was like 6 or 7. But I don't remember this particular speech, but I've certainly grown up and heard it a lot. And I sometimes like bringing these up because you guys remember this, you lived through it, whatnot.
Ronald Reagan, he gave that speech in Berlin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And was the wall the backdrop? I mean, was it? I think it was.
I think it was. I think he was on
the
west.
Yeah, because he said
west
tear
Berlin
down this
side.
Wall.
Yeah.
And the Soviet Union did. I mean,
two years later, they
either collapse, and as some would say, Gorbachev, the leader of the Soviet Union at the time, was a willing participant. He helped end the
Glasnost.
Yeah, yes. That was the cooling of tensions or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Russian word for something.
So yeah, so that's this day in history. President Ronald Reagan. I just know. I have fond memories of his 8 years in office. I know the left hated him like they hate President Trump. But
by the way, you recommended, and I did watch a couple of months ago, the movie Reagan with Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really recommend
that's good.
That.
Really
good.
Shows how he was determined to resist communism. And I don't know if a lot of people know this. There was a strong communist movement in this country while the Soviet Union existed.
Yes.
Now, people will recognize that Marxism is still alive and well and kicking on college and university campuses. But they had infiltrated, they had infiltrated the U.S. government and so on and so forth. But they were trying to take over Hollywood, and Reagan stood in the way of that.
Yep.
And you can imagine, as much as Hollywood uses propaganda now in their movies and television series. If they had captured Hollywood way back then, he is one of those individuals that I believe was used by God in a powerful way.
That movie is called Reagan, and it stars Dennis Quaid as Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And all right, thanks for listening this hour. We shall take a break for news and be back with Steve Paisley Jordahl in just 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.